Don't screw it up because we have a very high standard.
Okay.
It's true.
Gears are turning.
I've listened to 112 of them or something.
Gears.
Welcome to Crippled System, episode 113. Your hosts for the day are, and that's where you guys do it.
No. You got to say your name.
Oh, my name is Adam, and I'm irrelevant. I've never played War Machine.
We both do the movie phone voice.
Yeah, I like
Welcome to episode 113.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You say your brothers, but he doesn't look like you at all, and that's a compliment.
He looks like my dad.
Yeah, this is true.
You're the mailman?
Yes.
Yeah. He got the Irish part, and I got the German part. So we both like to drink, which is pretty awesome.
Love it.
Yeah, and fight. Yeah.
Fighting's the best.
Yeah. Nathan likes potatoes, which ties into the podcast quite well.
He's more into genocide.
I'm a huge fan of going to war with France. Huge fan.
Fuck.
Well, I mean, it's you know, it's
easy in the winter.
Well, you know, sometimes Russia's a little difficult, but no, it's just we Germans like it that way.
Boom.
Yeah.
Well, and I am Troll Jeff. I play Trollbloods.
Woohoo! I'm Nathan. I play Convergence of Cirrus and Pigs.
I'm Brian, and I'm going to be playing my Gator soon.
Mm. Exciting. Minion brother.
Woohoo!
I'm Andy. I play Ethereum poorly.
To be fair, you were playing without a scenario against an unkillable caster.
Well, no, we were playing a scenario.
Well, caster was kill the caster, was the right? scenario. Like, in Steamroller terminology, you were playing without a scenario.
We learned that, like many games, having a more solid scenario would be better. Which is a good, which is not a bad thing. It seems like a solid plan.
We didn't look through the other, how do they call them? Not scenarios.
Operations. They're operations, not scenarios.
Do you want to run through announcements quick, and then we can talk about Ethereum a bunch?
Yeah, because we're gonna announcement number one. Sorry for last week. Announcement.
Sorry.
On like 17 different layers, from the content to the energy level to the content to the to just our faces. Sorry.
So you're just apologizing.
All those
were, besides you.
His energy level was bad. The content was more on me and Jim. Quality's always on you.
Yeah. My energy was bad.
Quality right now. Did quality ever start?
And here's my advice. If you have not, listen, if you skip from 111 to 113 accidentally, don't go back. That's my only advice I can give to the world.
It's the worst thing I've ever been a part of.
No, I think the Holocaust was better. That's just an understatement.
So we're
going on the same foot as we did last week. He got me all excited about the German thing.
I got you excited about Holocaust? What does that mean?
Spoiler for episode 114.
No
we
more
apologize
Mr. Nice
for
Guy.
Episode 113.
The second announcement today is there is going to be the six-pack, which we've talked about a ton, starting up May something. I can't even remember the date.
May 16th.
May 16th.
Yeah.
We're getting close to 40 signups. I'm going to need. I haven't talked to some locals, but I'm going to need like about 3 or 4 locals to show up like early with me to help set up. And I might need to force someone into being my assistant helper for all the events because I think I'm not going to be able to run everything by myself. It's gotten too big, which is a good thing. But I think if I try to run it all myself, I'm going to kill myself.
I can help. But I'm not going to be there for the first one.
We'll work it out. But it's going to be exciting. We now added more prize support. We now have the Kickstarter models as also additional prize support from the all the exclusive models, except for the Cater one. There's six of them. 6 of the 7 models will be options because there's 6 events. So it worked out really well.
I want to make this quick announcement. The broadcaster has indicated that this channel is intended for mature audiences.
No way.
Twitch made that announcement for us. That was nice of them.
Thank you.
You had the events, right? Or those things on calendars. Dates. You had the dates for the events.
May 16th, June 20th, July 25th. Hasn't been posted, but if you're planning far out, it'll be July 25th. The event will be posted the next couple of weeks.
But wait, isn't June 20th DICON weekend?
June 20th is indeed DICON weekend. It was just the only thing we could possibly... there was no other way to do it. It's DICON, so sadly we can't make DICON this year, but locally there is just events every weekend. So it sucked, but that's life.
That is unfortunate.
Oh my god, cable's flying.
Andy just got unplugged because there's buzzing happening.
Oh, and he looks confused staring at you. The third announcement is, in the last announcement, I didn't realize Jim's a hipster. That hit me this week. It was like I was having a conversation with someone, and I was typing out, Jim, if you tell Jim you like something, he hates it. So he's basically, sure. I'm like, wait a minute, Jim's a hipster. It was like this revelation. Like I realized it was like it was shocking to me.
Civil War facial hair, hates everything except for the white stripes, and drinks PBR.
I was blind. He was completely in my blind spot. He's the most obvious hipster in the world. Like Alex, like I only like one hipster in my life. Like Alex has always been that hipster to me. And this realizing Jim was a hipster, it's like changed everything about me.
What the fuck is going on?
Is it just your buzzing or?
No, it's something else.
Audio quality, fun. We didn't used to have all of the audio quality. Sometimes now everything's the worst.
You didn't used to have the audio quality?
Well, I mean, that is for two, but
problems. Audio quality problems.
We have one too many Hoffmans.
The world.
There's a lot. I mean, one too many? No. There's like 20 or 30 too many.
The crazy thing, if you ask any of our spouses, when Hoffman brothers get together, it's not additive.
It's synergy. It's synergistic.
It's exponential how obnoxious we get.
What's the difference between synergy and exponential? Like, aren't we basically saying the same thing?
An exponential isn't a term that's in War Machine.
Okay, I understand.
But synergy is an upkeep spell.
Fair enough.
It's better on everybody except for Amon.
Yeah, there were five Hoffman men at the Brewers game last night.
That is unfortunate for everyone around us.
Yeah, the Brewers lost. Go figure.
There were six Hoffman males. One of them was like 5 years old, though, so that hard, you know.
That's right.
It was just an educational experience for that one.
Yes. Yeah.
You're like, oh my God, my future's terrible.
And yeah, and it was pretty fun. It was awesome. And I did want to say the reason I'm here, because a lot of people are probably wondering, is because I set the Guinness World Record for the longest consecutive time listening to Crippled System podcasts on the drive out here. It was like 6.5 straight hours.
You are a liar. You told me you took a break in the middle.
Right. And so the thing is, I didn't think that you would expose me on air as a liar, but that's all right.
Two episodes
is the record.
You're right.
So,
he set the record.
Yeah.
If the first two episodes were shorter than the second two episodes, you broke your own record like that pole vaulter
Sergey Bubka. Yeah.
It's like our friend Ryan who listens to everything we do. Even he even watches and listens to the episodes focused on the specific factions.
Yeah, that's no.
Which you should listen to if you're not into the game. But he like listened to like an 8-hour Jeremy podcast. Right. Where he doesn't even listen play the game. He just wanted he can't miss any part of our. He doesn't even like us. He just because he started he can't listen.
He doesn't like us. He doesn't like the game. There's no reason for him to still be doing it.
He started. He can't end it.
But you know, every once
a lot
in a while,
of people pay good money for that kind of stuff.
We have to die for him to stop it.
But I told him I liked Heroes Wanted and Dead of Winter, and he introduced us to both those games, so he got that out of it.
He did. Are we better?
Are we still terrible, Andy? We're not still terrible, but his microphone's unplugged, so.
You're still terrible, but.
The audio quality.
The audio quality is much better.
Hooray. And it might be it's Twitch only, not on the recording over here, in which case, fuck them. There's only 7 people that affects. Versus the literally dozen of people that listen to us afterwards.
All dozen of them.
I must have done myself from 2 minutes ago.
I turned on your Twitch stream one time, and I turned it on, and I heard you, Brian, saying, yeah, but your brother's a moron. He's stupid. And then Nathan's like, oh, he's terrible at Small World. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, is this all they've been doing? And so I turned it off.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, you are pretty bad at Small World.
I am pretty terrible at Small World.
You lost it because Newbie was there, right?
Newbie didn't really know what he was doing totally,
that's his normal state of being.
And so I went through and I said, Nate, what you should do is take this, and then the best thing for you to do would be to attack my guys. And then for the entire game, every time it was his turn, I gave him the best advice on how to destroy me. And Newbie did follow it, and the advice was good, and I really destroyed myself pretty well. And again, that's something people pay good money to do.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I just moved into the...
So I'm not good at Small World, not good at Coup, not good at really anything.
Yeah.
No.
We're going to go to our first topic. We'll talk about Terrain for a little bit while Andy gets the sound going. We're going to talk about Terrain and Ethereum.
Sure, let's talk about Terrain.
So, and I want to talk about not necessarily just like Terrain and War Machine or even miniature games in general. Because one thing you see from people... that come and do War Machine specifically, is they go, man, it's a fun game, but when I look at the 40K table, I see, you know, lush forests and lakes and mountains and hills.
He's trying to start a turf war.
And all these things. And other games, like if you go, even a game like the one with the pieces and the models and the stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
that one. Starship Troopers?
No, that's Starship Troopers.
Mars Attacks.
No, the other
one. Memoir 44.
Malifaux. Yeah, see?
Yeah, got it on three.
Got it with the stuff. Malifaux has just dozens of pieces of terrain on the board. In War Machine, you have six-ish, five to six, five to seven-ish, and they're all, you know, everything's like, you know, it's in the book.
Yeah, you have one on each of the four corners, one in the middle, and maybe a couple walls in random spots so that it looks like there's terrain.
And it always fascinates me. People who just come to the game and go, well, man, you should just have all these boards look like every other game. And we're like, well, it would look cooler. I mean, I think 100% they're right. The table would look amazing if you had 30 pieces of terrain on it. But then you should just be like, well, are you playing Legion? Yes. Okay, well, let's not play the game anymore. There's a balance I think people don't understand sometimes where you have to have you want terrain to impact a game. You want to have a variety of, you want forests and lakes and walls and rubble and all sorts of things. But yet you don't want it to say, oh, you play X faction, so congratulations.
Terrain should impact the game but not decide the game.
It should, yeah. It should. If terrain makes people think most times, should I go first or second? That's a big deal. I think that's correct.
Right.
You don't want to say, man, but you don't want to be like, you want to say, I think I'm going to get an advantage if I take the side. You don't want to say, well, I'm going to auto win because I take the side. There's also too much.
Right. What you do if you think your opponent has a side of the table that's, if one of the sides is unbalanced, roll for deployment, then choose to go first. Then when they choose that side, complain to the TO and get the terrain moved around.
It's a joke. You shouldn't do that unless you're a terrible person.
Ethan, you already told the story.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yes. Moving on.
I'm allowed to tell that story because that guy's a shithead and got banned from War Machine.
All right. Anyway, don't make the Holocaust guy take the high ground here. Holocaust guy, that's a terrible nickname.
That's a horrible superhero.
You're the one that got that tattooed on your abs. I don't know why, but...
Yeah. Well, luckily you can't see it, so... That's why I stay overweight, because otherwise it formed.
Well, it was supposed to be Hall & Oates guy, but when you gained weight, the letters kind of blurred together.
If it was only that easy.
Yes.
And I wasn't sure, like, for terrain, like, people also talk about... One thing I will say, I guess, on the current Steamroller as well, is now you can't have walls or obstacles. Well, you can never have an obstacle in a zone.
Obstructions.
You can never have obstructions in the zone, because if you have a 12x12 zone, you want to be able to put miles in there. If you put an obstruction that's blocking space, it's just not fair because miles can't take it up.
Right.
And in the past, you could have a wall in a zone, you could have an obstruction, although no one uses obstructions. But now, in the new rule, you can't have walls in zones, you can't even have them within 5 inches of, like, markers, because they want you to be able to put a colossal base-to-base with an objective or a flag.
Right.
You know, he's still doing
He's just stuff. Making random noises to see if he's coming through.
And I don't know if people have... After running some events now, I'm finding that has to be a challenge, because as a TO, I set up the terrain in the beginning of the day, and you expect as a TO, you're going to have to move terrain around a little bit during the day. People are going to bump terrain. Some scenario is going to screw it up a little bit. It's going to happen during the day. Some table is going to need adjustment. That's just, you know, it's fine. It's the life of a TO. What I found now is every single round, multiple tables have to be adjusted to some degree because of these rules.
To a large degree is the issue. Shifting something like an inch to the right, even on every table, you just go around and just shift some stuff when you're putting the flags down anyway. But if it's massive changes, especially cascading ones, we're like, well, I have to move this building over here, but now I have to move the forest over there. Well, now that hill has to move, like where you're basically just starting from scratch.
Yeah.
If you're doing that to three or four tables every round, it just eats into the day.
And when you're the one person running a 20-30-man event, you got to get stuff moving. You don't want players to sit around while you readjust things.
Andy's mouthing things, and I don't read lips. Andy just doesn't get to be in this episode, apparently.
Nope.
Did you guys have any, like, opinions on the type of terrain you see? You don't see certain times enough, some too much. Is there any kind of thoughts, troll? I call you a troll, you're just troll. Hey, troll guy.
Troll. my opinion on the terrain is usually that the really fun and neat terrain that you see in Warhammer and 40K and all that, it's really fun for scenarios when you're not concerned about the win, because it causes really goofy things to pop up. And they go, ah, ha, 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 it was funny. Isn't it goofy how that entire building dicked me out of a win? But when you're going to, like, an event where there is prize support, or you paid an entry fee, you don't want to feel like you were denied your chance to win because of that same terrain. And that's really the big difference. Is there's the casual environment is what you're normally seeing off on the side for the workshop titles, and I don't know about Malifaux. I don't know if there's a competitive scene on that one or not.
Well,
but
Malifaux, in my opinion, because each side only has maybe 12.
And that's a big impact, too.
You have less models, and you need terrain is supposed to be more of an impassable, because you actually can climb into buildings, and you can interact with terrain more in like a game like Malifaux. Or a lot of those skirmish games, you have 8 to 12 dudes on a side.
Yeah.
You want the forest or the rivers.
That's how Necromunda and Mordheim are supposed to play out.
So there's a whole different like attitude towards it. Where in War Machine, you know, you're not going into these buildings per se.
Yeah, and I'll agree to that too. And some of it is I don't know the restricted terrain list very well. It could just be that the restricted terrain pieces are just really easy and super impactful, and we know it, so we're just going to them a lot.
They're just things you can't stand on. That's the restricted terrain. That's the entire list.
Right, but they always make an appearance on all those tables, and because the zones want to get so large.
Here's I think an issue is that you only ever see four different types of terrain in War Machine. Sometimes the fifth. You have obstructions, linear obstacles, hills and forests. Sometimes someone will put shallow water down. And that's it. Yeah. And so part of the issue is that because the restricted thing gets rid of two of those four, so all of a sudden you're like, well, I can't put anything in there. Part of the solution is people need to start making and using trenches. People need to start making and using rough terrain. We have a bunch of those. You know, Brian, a couple of years ago, he made a bunch of just rough terrain areas. That all it is rough terrain. Those can go in a zone. Yep. Brian and I were talking about obstacles. Not linear obstacles, actual like ziggurats, like climbable obstacles, a stack of crates you can jump on top of. That's interesting terrain that I have never in my life seen obstacles in a game of War Machine ever.
And we're lucky here because I put last year ago, I made like 20 things of rough terrain. I made like a dozen water. I made a dozen things of light water because you're right. You don't see it most places. So when you play in Madison, you're going to see six types of terrain where some areas you might see like one water in an entire game store. But you know, here you're going to see at least six tables with water or seven, which is still only maybe half the tables, but it's more than other places. But that's a lot of time and dedication I put into that. And if a game area is smaller, you need a guy to say, okay, I'm going to spend a few $100s to get into it, and then I'm going to spend, you know, a ton of hours of time. And some people are happy just to put felt down, and that's cool if that's good for your area. I've never been a big just let's have 12 pieces of felt. This pink is this, yellow is this.
Yeah, it doesn't look bland when you do that.
But if it's what you got to do.
I mean, it is better than nothing, but in my brain, I can't. I would need a chart next to the table saying what color is what.
Right.
Because I would just be confused. I mean, obviously, blue water and green forest, but beyond that, I'm like, I don't know. Trenches are great. I wish Privateer Press has the best trenches I've seen in any game ever. When I see people make trenches, it's always this huge sloped thing you can't go on to, and it's just unplayable.
And then this tiny little ditch you can fit two figures in.
But Privateer Press made these just beautiful, just tiny slopes. You can put a bunch of models in it. They're amazing. They actually got a mold of it, and they have, like, their events have, like, just hundreds of them. Like, almost every table has a trench. Some have two trenches. They're beautiful. I wish it was something that would sell. I almost made a mold of it, or close to it, but it's actually kind of expensive. It's expensive to get going to it until you get it right, because once it's set, you're good to go. But to make trenches, it's a lot of work. But I wish there was some good solution to it, because trenches are a great piece of game terrain that we could see.
Yes.
Well, and another thing I've always been curious about is
and he's back, baby! Nice.
Participating really fully in the conversation by saying yes.
I agree.
Always a
valid point.
And I still think him in. I think things like I've made pieces of terrain that it's a hill with some forest on. Like, I think that's fine. I know some people like, I made the one piece of terrain that was kind of a joke. It was a hill with the water and a forest on it. I thought it was great, but people wanted to slip.
You forgot the
and
wall.
And the wall. Yeah. Well, yeah, the wall surrounding
that
the water.
Didn't have the wall. That was a different one where you had the circle wall on top of the hill.
Okay. That one, people, I don't use that anymore because my life has been threatened too many times. Like, I literally will be murdered if
you can't put your bridge up anymore.
My bridge, well, I haven't brought it up. And that's, you mentioned casual events.
Your modular cityscape is really good.
That's where you can bring that kind of stuff up.
And that stuff is really fun to play on, just not if you care about losing or not. Yeah.
Like, where we have the fun events where winning isn't a point, then you can play in these really crazy scenarios.
You usually see those at a Who's the Boss event or so. Like, we see Thousand Needles at Who's the Boss every year.
Yeah.
Because Thousand Needles is fun.
The trains were found, so the trains can be back at Who's the Boss.
Which I haven't heard back. There's one person that was possibly going to hold up Who's the Boss, but I'm going to just punch him if he does hold up Who's the Boss.
Sounds like a plan.
So Who's the Boss is happening July 11th. It's throwback to announcements. Sorry.
Well, since you're going to talk, we'll allow it.
July 11th at the Pegasus Games. It's going to be limited sign up. Food is going to be provided, so it's going to be a little bit more expensive.
Free hookers?
No free hookers, but we might have donations.
One free available. Hooker, but they'll be disguised as a player.
Yes,
maybe it'll just be a group discount.
There's a code word. Adam's coming back for that event.
Yeah, I'll be there. There's a code word.
You're gonna be really upset when you find out that Nate's the hooker.
And it's Peep Show. Yeah, no.
Some people would pay good money.
So July 11th. So July, you have to come to Madison for both Who's the Boss and the third six pack, which is going to be, I think, a Theme Force event.
Yep. The third one is like 2 weeks after the Who's the Boss. So
1 week before Gen Con.
I will say Who's the Boss is going to be limited, though, because we don't have enough space. That's going to be the biggest issue about it. And we're probably going to be holding some type of fundraiser for the Crippled System podcast for it. Because Andy's sick and tired of spending all of his money on worthless equipment that buzzes.
You have a second one of those, and
it buzzes.
It buzzes also.
Mm-hmm. It's got a bad ground in it somewhere.
It's a feature, not a bug.
Yeah. Bugs or buzz.
I could probably have Jim take a look at it, or just try messing around with the settings some more to find out if there's something else with it. But
if it's already to the point where you consider it broken, there's no way it's going to get.
Well,
too
we
broke.
Could order the exact same one off of Amazon, claim it's broken, and then send this one back.
Yeah. Well, this one does work, but I have to make sure that the wires are all at the right angles. I think it has something to do with the power cord on it.
I can see the internal
basically
cord
coming off. Yeah.
Did you have any thoughts on terrain?
Terrain. Don't let Brian set it for you. No.
It's a very grounded opinion. Get it? Because it's terrain?
I thought because we were talking about the ground in there.
Yeah.
That too. See?
No.
I'm working on multiple levels.
Yeah. My God, that's deep.
I was going to make... That's what she said. I was going to make a math joke because he said the cables had to be at the right angles, and I was going to say that one's more like 89 degrees.
I get it.
Topic. Stay on topic, people.
Get it?
I need to talk about terrain.
Go on.
What were your thoughts, Andy?
Well, my thoughts are basically it's nice to have a variety of terrain on the table. It's nice to make sure that... when terrain is set up, that both of you actually have a real option if you want to go first or choose a side.
Also, discuss what the terrain is.
That's
the thing we didn't even bring up. Actually, that's actually, people sometimes play terrains where a piece of terrain has like walls around it, and then there's a gravel in the middle. Some people like that to be rough terrain. Some people don't. And if you don't talk about those little details in the middle of a game, someone's going to get pissed off pretty fast.
Yeah. If you have a template that has like a green border and then blue stuff in the middle, is the whole template water? Is just the blue stuff water? That's one that I've seen people disagree about mid-game.
Issues with a kind of a local event around here too, where they had just different templates out there of different colors, and you didn't know like...
This
one
was
event.
One of the felt ones, right? Yeah.
It was one of the events. Event. One of the events. It was water. One of the events. It was trees. One of the events. It was more trees. And then and then the one game where I don't question it, it comes into a big factor.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
My game.
You just assumed that yellow was hill and green was forest and blue was water, and it turned out not so much.
Here's how you beat me in a game. If I'm playing a game where we play felt, if someone has a tree in front, like sometimes there's felt, but someone has there's a few pieces of trees around the game. Once I take the tree off the felt, I forget if it's not green, I completely forget that it's a forest. Like I've lost games where it's like, oh yeah, that's actually a forest because there wasn't a tree there anymore. I just I thought it was like something else because like, it was a brown thing. We had a tree in it for some reason, so I knew it was a forest. But then the tree got moved off it for some reason,
and all of a sudden it turned into a hill.
Yeah, I thought then my brain's like, oh, brown hill, and I moved on, and then I tried to charge over it, and the guy's like, it's a forest. I'm like, fuck this game. I mean, it's completely my fault for not remembering but it's like I see the colors and I'm thinking about strategy and there's no tree on top of it, so I'm like, whatever.
Is it like the time that there was that this was obviously it was deep water, right?
I've even heard that anecdote like four times.
Well,
and I've never played
the
fucking game. So.
Himself is
I wasn't
the
telling the story.
He started.
I'm repeating stories even when I'm not the one telling them.
You've told that story twice
but
on
Andy
air.
Andy was telling it.
I understand, but the whole time we start talking about terrain, and I'm just like, holy shit! If I hear this story one more time,
I actively didn't start that story because I knew I'm like, I'm not going to tell the water story.
Yesterday and today, I mean, I told Nate, I was like, Nate, I'm all caught up on your podcast. And yet he started like five stories, and it's like, Nate, I told you, I already heard you say this a couple times on the podcast. You don't need to say it again to me. Terrain. So I make my living off of teaching military tactics, right? That's how I'm overpaid. And the thing about terrain is that it complicates things, you know? I mean, you can teach tactics in a vacuum, and the more layers of complexity you add to it, the more difficult it is. You think about chess has no terrain, you know, and it is the most fair game there is. Because
Archon has got terrain, though.
Archon, like, is that the old Nintendo game? I love me some Archon. Yeah. We should go play that. That Sorry. And Fortress America.
You, me, and Andy are going to have an Archon tournament.
I'll
stay on top of it.
So I think that, you know, the issue with terrain is, I mean, yeah, it's fun to play, but if you guys are looking for just, you know, a balanced tournament, it's so difficult, like you said, to lay out something that is completely fair, and I just think maybe you're better off just saying, hey, we are in a vacuum, and let's not mess with terrain. So I understand it's fun, but I do think that maybe it's just, hey, this is not a tournament thing.
Well, we want it to be, like, slightly not... I wanted terrain to have, like, a 10-ish percent... I wanted just a slight impact on the game to make people choose sides. Like, I wanted to go, okay,
sure,
if I'm over mm-hmm. here, my life's a little sure. inconvenienced, but I can deal with it, but I'm going to choose to go second so I don't have to deal with that, or I want my caster on this hill because I want the high ground.
Sure.
But I'm not choosing the side because there's 14 fours on the side, and then now I can never be, you know, there's...
Sure, and yeah, I mean, that certainly could be one of your little niches, but that's going to be difficult to set that up so that it's just like, I'll take this and I'll slam the win.
Yep.
But terrain.
One point I've always been curious about is a lot of the items that seem to be causing problems with terrain are the structures and the walls. Have the playtesting been done for making those destroyable even in a tournament setting?
There are rules for destroy.
Right, but they're never used.
Well, because nobody ever uses obstacles or structures.
Right.
Part of the challenge is
there is no rule preventing you from having destroyable terrain in a steamroller event.
Does it?
People just don't bother because nobody does.
If you kill a building, does it vanish or does it leave a wreck mark?
It turns into
rubble.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And there's rules for rubble.
That's part of the challenge, I think, because let's say you have this nice building. Okay, now I destroy it. God. Do you have actually a rubble?
You have removable tops.
Not that you hammer it, obviously, because that'd murder you. But I mean, then you put something in its place.
You need the same size template then.
Yeah. So you have to, and then there's rules for half of those two layer buildings, though, is just have the building there and it's destroyed. You pick it up and like the inside's all ruined.
You could just have a base of the building there, and then on top of that the building. That would mm-hmm. be amazing to do a city style type battle where you're just destroying buildings. Why'd you just flip me off?
I didn't.
You did. It was on camera. Saw it.
Let's wait 2 minutes and see it.
With my middle finger. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the longest finger I have. Yeah.
You're doing it again.
I can't stop and double check. Like,
well, I knew my ring finger was longer than my pointer finger, but not my middle finger.
Topic.
Same topic.
Topic.
Oh my God.
This is kind of like terrain. This is human terrain. Yeah.
Does anyone have any? Also, never mind. I didn't have an also.
Okay. You just randomly say also again.
Also, yeah, I just think if people are setting up a terrain, have a variety. Well, my last point is you mentioned buildings. One thing that is you set up this scenario, you set up the terrain. You also, as a team, have to think to yourself, okay, if my opponent is if players are like playing Gatsby 2, they can chain three clouds. If I put this building here and this forest here, and they can put the three clouds at seal that hole, now they have a completely unstoppable force because they've blocked 100% of line of sight. So you have to kind of make sure you don't have these little dead spots where the game becomes unstoppable if someone can put down like three clouds.
Yeah, but if you're there, you can't worry about that all the time. Otherwise, you can never have two LOS blocking things within 9 inches of each other.
True. I mean, but to some degree, you have to make sure all the time. You have to be at least aware of that.
You have to think of shenanigans.
Yeah.
Another key term is the asymmetrical symmetry. Where, you know, I try to have, like, a forest on one side and then a hill on the other side because they both give +2 defense. And, like, an obstruction on one side and some linear obstacles on the other because they both give cover, but in different ways. And so you see too many people that they're like, well, I need to have a hill on both sides and I need to have this both sides. And then you look at their table and you're like, well, if I draw a diagonal line, you literally have the exact same thing on both sides of the table. Yeah. And that's – then what's the point of – even pretending the guy who goes second has a choice.
I want both sides to have some form of cover.
Yep.
And I want a theoretical heal. I mean, I just want to make sure there's some defense from guns and then there's some things laid out.
Yeah, in general, I have a cover, a +2 defense, so either a forest or a hill, and something rough, so either water or a wreck marker or something. Or the forest can do double duty and be the rough thing, because that way everybody's got a little bit of that going on.
Yeah. As long as all models can't charge 100% straight forward without having to like move because of some sort of terrain, I'm happy as well. Yeah, no, that's my thoughts on the topic. Anyone else thoughts?
Is there some form of like? Could you use time as like a bidding system, as far as choosing sides? No.
Well, the way
you
that choosing
I mean,
time,
though?
the going first is a very huge advantage in War Machine. So in Steamroller, to mitigate that advantage, there's a die roll. Whoever rolls high gets to choose. They can either go first or not. Mm-hmm. Whoever doesn't go first gets to choose what side of the table they get. And so that's the hypothetical advantage of table choices. Whoever, so you, the important thing is that you want the table side to matter enough that going first isn't just, well, duh, because who gives a shit about what side you take because going first for life, bro.
And before you go to the other thing, when you're metagaming the system, if you get to table before your opponent and you know one of the two sides is better,
you put all your models
sit
there
on the better side. Sure. So if you go, even if you go, if you run the, if you went first, your opponent doesn't want to switch sides out of laziness. It's a very big thing. Most, a lot of people, it's a very common thing to do.
Sometimes, if I prefer my, the side I'm currently standing on, but only a little bit, sometimes I'll still choose the other side just to make a move.
Also, it's like, which side has more ass room? Because is there a guy, do I have some space if I'm on the other side? Like, where do I mean, there's all sorts of decisions outside the game where you can trick someone.
I'm sitting, am I looking at somebody's butt that I don't like?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want this view.
Exactly. That's very true. Those are very important things though, to start to determine the sides.
Also the table.
The table.
But that's like distant seventh.
It is on the fact. But you can people do manipulate that quite a bit. That's a very common thing. And people are like, oh, I'm over here, I'll take it. Then they said, oh, crap, I should have taken the side. So look at the table. Because if you're sitting against anyone who plays in tournaments, 100% of the time, they're on that table because they know it's better. So yes. If you play against Keith in a tournament, and Keith doesn't listen to this podcast, because why would he? You know whatever side he's on, you want.
But now he's going to flip that.
But he doesn't listen.
He's going to go two levels deep.
He'll hear about it after a couple events. He's not that deep. That's his trick. You think he's deep,
sure,
but he's really not.
Did you guys talk about traps?
Sitting on the side of the table that you want.
Well, also double checking to make sure that the TO, like me, sometimes I'll do that, place walls so they're exactly 14 inches. Up from the side.
Oh, yeah. Or 13.9999. Yeah.
So if you go into sight, you're going to cover, you're going to kill box yourself.
That is a giant post on our Twitch feed. You read that and see if it's something useful. That's your job.
Is it spam or does he hate us? Because, I mean, I'm...
No, he's been making comments.
The spam hates us. It's not exclusive.
Spam's trying to help you.
All right.
I need that enlarged penis. All
right. Is that cumulative?
And that's our thoughts on...
Right, like if you get five of those, that 2 to 3 inches, is that 10 to 15?
Go downstairs.
one small variant you can almost do this is come down, or is for a steamroller format. When you build your list, you bring like 3 to 4 pieces of terrain specifically for that game, and then you and your opponent take turns placing that terrain on the board.
I'm bringing Legion. Here's my 3 4x6 forests.
I know, but it's an option, maybe.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. In Mark 1, like in Mark 2, the rules for terrain building are literally make a table that's not stupid, you assholes.
Yeah.
Like, that's what Prime says almost verbatim. In Mark 1, it was the whole take turns putting down a piece of terrain and everything. Mm-hmm. And that was literally like the Legion player put down a giant forest, and then you'd put something. Then he'd put a second giant forest, and then you'd put something, and then he'd put a third giant forest and say he was done.
I wish their Isle of Sight didn't grab Pathfinder. Like, I wish.
Well, it doesn't. They all have both. I mean,
I would be not that I want to go on a tangent about Legion, but I think Isle of Sight's fair and cool, and they should get that.
Carnivians have dainty feet. They find all the right places to step.
I think the Pathfinder's a bridge too far.
Well, I think shallow water should work the way I said it should work, and then you could use that against them.
I think you're correct, but I also think I thought of that first, but we thought of it independently.
Okay.
You took my... Anyway, you are right, though. It's a very good idea. The water idea is brilliant. Good job doing it.
I don't know what your water
idea
is.
Yeah, what's the water idea?
Was I downstairs?
It's rough terrain, but Pathfinder doesn't ignore it, and it doesn't do the furnace shit.
Well, unless you're amphibious.
Right, amphibious ignores it, flight ignores it, incorporeal ignores it, but Pathfinder doesn't.
Yeah, Pathfinder goes through like everything but water.
That's perfectly fine.
Yeah, and then you take out all the stupid furnace rules.
I don't mind that, to be honest.
The issue with the furnace rules, I don't mind it because it's interesting and cool and fluffy and whatever.
It's convoluted.
The thing that I actually mind about it is that it prevents anybody from ever playing with shallow water on their table.
Right.
Because it's unfair to one side of the game more than the other, and so people don't like that in their gut, so they just never put it on the table. And so whether or not I think that it's a shitty rule doesn't matter. I think it's a rule that's preventing people from using shallow water.
I think you see less water because making terrain pieces of water is a pain in the fucking ass.
Of all the terrain, the one that I mind least when it's felt is water. Just a blue circle. I'm like, okay.
I'm acceptable. Anyway,
fair enough.
All right. But yeah, you know, that's good.
With a tree on it to confuse Brian.
I'd fucking lose that game every time.
It's an oasis.
It's a lake forest.
Yeah. I'd be so fucked.
Milk steak.
All right.
Ethereum.
That's next and final topic before our zappities and things. Is me and Andy have been playtesting Ethereum.
They're not playtesting. We've just been playing.
We've been playing because it's actually out. It is out now.
Ooh, your copy doesn't have a barcode on the box. There's just a white rectangle. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
This was donated to us, to the podcast, by the great people of Anvil Games who created this, and they wanted us to try it out.
Dan and I played against two of the guys that were working their booth at Adepticon, and they were two of the coolest guys ever.
Yeah.
I don't remember their names, but they were awesome. We high-fived. I saw them at Five Guys after the tournament, and they were cool.
I know Vince.
Okay. Yeah, was he one of those two?
Yes. He's the one who actually provided us with a copy of the game.
But they were awesome, and I liked them. So shout out to those guys. Sorry I forgot your names.
Ethereum is kind of a miniature game / board game. You play it on a board. It's a very set play space, and it's got tiles, and so it's very set in that regard. So it's kind of a board game, but it's kind of a miniature game. I don't know, really. It's a hybrid, I guess is probably the best way.
It's probably best as a hybrid. So it's kind of like Blood Bowl. Blood Bowl, you buy a game, you have the board, you have the two teams, and then you can get more stuff for it.
Yep.
So it's...
I think the only miniature aspect of it, like with Blood Bowl, is that you build your list outside of the game.
Yep.
Once you're playing it's very, very board game.
Even the same thing. Yeah, even the same thing with Blood Bowl.
Blood Bowl and Ethereum. Once you're playing a game of Blood Bowl, it is a board game.
Yes.
You know, but the list building outside of the game is a big dynamic of it with this and Blood Bowl.
What comes in the start... And actually, the starter box is really slick for what you get. You get the mat, you get a full force for each side that you'd play with. So even if you buy more stuff, you don't add miniatures, you just kind of change it. What you have, so it's not like your army doesn't get bigger, it just gets different.
Right.
It's got a bunch of tiles. The rule book is beautiful, in my opinion, as far as it's organized very well. It doesn't have an index or appendix, but
does not have an index, so you can't look up something.
But
the structure
of it's really nice. It has tons of sections on just story, it goes into the characters, goes into the world. So I like that part of it.
It's the game plays very smoothly, it's got a very easy learning curve, I would say. Each model has got a certain amount of movement that they can do. That's what they do. They have an attack that they can do is kind of a free action. They have things that are called executables. It's kind of like a special ability that they can do. Some of them cost movement for you to use.
Well, they have a thing called CS. So CS can be used for movement, for special abilities. It's a combination of how you want to do it. Then they have... It's a futuristic game where the two forces are fighting. The two forces, like the government and then the rebels, basically. And it takes place in the future. It takes place in a virtual reality type of a scenario. So every game you play, that's kind of the gimmick. Is you got two factions fighting out in virtual reality. It's a bit more advanced than just standard VR, but
it's like think of like if the users actually had direct control of their characters in Tron.
Well, and the big gimmick that you haven't touched on yet, but it seems to me it's the driving force. I mean, the other things in there as well. But I see, you know, it has like the spawn points and stuff like that, those pylons, which maybe you don't spawn off of, but like the control pylons kind of like, like Super Dungeon Explorer, you can spawn off of them during the game and stuff like this. But it has the pylons and things like that that are similar to what I've seen in other games. The big gimmick this has that I haven't seen in anything else is that the tiles themselves move around during the game.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
That's the big shtick.
Yeah, but even so, they don't move around randomly. No. I mean, you know, when you just say, oh, they move around, it implies like, oh, they just shift. But you, as a tactical thing, maneuver these things, and that was really cool.
And I posted a picture on my Facebook of like what the game looked like when it started and where it looked at the end, like how the board was so different. Like each person has these, you start with pylons, and you can move during your turn. You have a resource called RAM, and you can move things you control or neutral around.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can move, or they can even twist. And Andy actually had the board twist crazily to try to, you know, he took the biggest tile and suddenly shifted it. So now my guys were all separated and they weren't together where they were because I was on different tiles. And he broke up my whole synergy. And I basically, towards the end, I got his commander on a small tile. And then I just shifted the tile to the corner because I needed to separate him to get him.
So you gave him a timeout.
Yeah, I gave him a timeout. Well, I had one of my guys hitting him. I just shoved him to the corner of the map to separate him from his people. But it's a neat element. And
the shifting tiles is really cool. That one there where I moved the largest tile, I tried to bring your caster into effect where I could actually then move. Like, I did not have a possible way of getting to your caster, but after I rotated the tile once, which took almost all my RAM in the
if
first
Muhammad
place.
Cannot go to the mountain will come to yes. Muhammad.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, crap. I just didn't think he was going to do that. Because it was pretty ridiculous when it happened, because I did not see it coming. But I was just shifting things around more to be annoying to him than I was anything else. But it worked out pretty well. What's neat is you have your solos like in any game that can function. Then you have like your units. Your units either are independent dudes. Or it's basically either you have like four models that are like solos that work, but you have to activate at the same time, or you have the unit move, one model moves and one model attacks, but they kind of like, you move one model, then the rest of the group just reappears around them, and then one of those models attacks. It's
that
kind
is
of
a
weird
sequence?
Yeah, they're programs. You have linked programs, and you have the other terminology for programs. There's two types of programs, linked and then the other one.
Useful, thank yes. you.
Well, you have your functions or your solos. I mean, there's a million terminologies in this. Segmented programs.
And linked are... Oh man, there's so many like computer style names that they use all throughout the game,
And the game comes with one leader, two functions, two programs, which is you don't ever play the game with that combination. And on their website, they already have like two other types of avatars for more leaders. Each side has at least two more functions coming, and I think each faction is gonna have one more program coming.
I have a promo model I got at Adepticon that apparently fell out of my bag because I found it on the floor in my car this morning.
Nice. You should bring it by so we can look and see what
it is.
He's
missing an arm.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, it's not like torn off. Like, I think the arm needs to be glued in. I just found, like, you know, he's like this shape and the arm just wasn't
so
with
it. So I don't know when those promo models are going to be released for sale, but like now that I know there's four promo models. If I wanted this game, my problem is, well, I want those four models. Unless they're coming out in a different version.
I have 75% of one of them.
I'm sure we could probably talk to Vince about getting other models.
And the game has a good variety of operations. Like one mission, which we realized...
scenarios.
The first operation scenario is basically caster kill. The problem is both of the casters in the starting set are almost impossible to kill. But the rest of the scenarios are all about like capturing the pylon. It's all about capturing territory for most of the scenarios. That's where about moving things around and getting near one and trying to take it over will be important for the rest of the games.
There's only technically five turns in the game. You get to activate your models five times. If they're deleted, then you can't activate them anymore. But
and it's a game where I activate a model, then or your opponent activates a model. You go back and forth, and not only do you activate one at a time, you have to take your list of models. Each unit has a card. You put it face down, and you choose the order. Then you flip them over one at a time. So you have to kind of plan out your turn based on what you want to activate, what your opponent's going to activate to counterbalance them back and forth. So that's kind of a really neat mechanic as well. Then because it's like a computer world, as your units get eliminated, you take council damage, which have random effects to the game. Like my council damage let me see through stuff. His Andy's council damage like fucked him.
So oh, like yeah. CONSOLE console.
Console.
I was thinking like CONSIUL or however.
SUL.
Console. The Council of Elders. Oh, and so I thought your console of elders were taking damage.
I thought you were talking about a different console.
No, not like there. No, I meant like, you know...
Yes. Not console. Yeah.
No.
Console as in CONSUL, I believe it's like
that's,
a...
Yeah, you have this sheet. You have this whole cart. You have this whole like sideboard where you keep your units and you track your RAM and things like that.
Yeah.
And it uses a D12 system. And it basically, instead of being numbered 1 to 12, there's all these symbols on them and the different symbols match the cards. And you have to kind of... It's a little gimmicky, but it works very well, in my opinion.
Yeah. As in, I roll all the good ones.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, my
roll
my console
well,
damage,
do well.
My console damage. So my character is basically Mask. He's the guy from Vendetta, for V for Vendetta.
Yeah.
His whole thing is about backstabbing, and my one console damage, which you can choose where it goes into your console when things are destroyed.
But you did it randomly.
I did it randomly, which was a bad choice because the only one of my models that was destroyed also made it so my character couldn't backstab anymore.
It helped. Which seems bad for you.
It seems really bad
it
for
was
me.
Bad.
Yeah,
the game also seems that both sides, the game was very smart. Like, if one unit has an ability that can't, each side in the starter box has the paper, rock, scissors element. Like, I have guys who have an ability to basically, when they get hit, they think about zero damage. He has people who, when they attack people, they basically negate a special ability. So there's all this, like, back and forth. Like,
right. So those guys want to attack the armored guys and so on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and then the solos have all these special abilities that want to attack certain things. So the game does a really neat job as far as that goes. And there's a lot of really good fluff story elements behind all the models.
Each of the major solos have got like a reaction. Everything has got a reactionary thing. So if you take damage, it's not just like you're just writing down damage. Each one has got something that triggers as they take damage.
They're called safeguards.
Like throwing Molotov cocktails at people.
Yes. Brian's guy, he's a grenadier.
Grenadier.
Yep. It is a grenadier.
He's got a grenadier.
It's not grenader.
Yes. He's my grenader.
The grenadier from Grenada throws grenades while drinking grenadine.
Yes.
Boom! High five! I wanted to go for the sap.
I know. I was blocking that. That was not a high five. That was defense.
I played too much Mortal Kombat. I just want to punch people around me. It's Grand Theft Auto. You want to drive really bad. I just want to punch things all day.
I'm so bad at Mortal Kombat. All I do is throw... because it's easy to do until my meter fills up, and then I do an X-ray attack.
That's for later. Sorry,
throws and X-ray attacks.
Ethereum was my fault.
So yeah, it's back on track here. Brian's
throws and X-ray attacks.
Okay, Brian's character had a character that just throws Molotovs, but stuns everybody who attacks him. So the next turn you can't attack with that character anymore.
I take some damage and you're like stunned for a turn. It's pretty good.
So it's like a bonded. Jack under Sorcha too,
basically.
Kind of, yeah.
I'm rolling it all
my,
in.
My
it's
character,
like a winter troll.
My solo that's similar to Brian's in that he basically throws Molotov cocktails at whoever tries to shoot him or hits him, but he takes damage from it too.
I think if you hit him in melee, he just throws a Molotov cocktail on you.
I'd like to think
you walk up and punch the guy and he just stares at you and then just whips the cocktail. Yeah.
I'd like to think that he takes a bite out of the cloth at the end of it, because like, he takes a point of damage whenever he does that and then throws it.
Oh, that's the glass. He scratches himself.
Oh, bites off the top of it and then throws it. Yeah.
Blood gushing out of his mouth.
So what would you say about the quality of the miniatures?
Well, to go quickly into gameplay. Gameplay, our game took about maybe an hour and a half.
Correct.
For the full, and we were still looking at cards.
Correct.
The demo game took like less than an hour. I'm sure full games itself could take about an hour once you know how everything rolls. About an hour, hour and a half.
Because when you set up, there's not a set board you play, and you set up, you roll dice to see who goes first, and from the tiles, one person puts down a tile, and the scenario says you use X amount of large, X amount of small, X amount of medium, so you take turns placing things out, so you get to look at the tiles and kind of place them as a reactionary.
You put them on the Quantum Noise server mat. Yep.
And we made a lot of mistakes it was our first game, so we were putting down pieces of terrain next to each other that were like blocking paths. We were just like, we weren't really thinking too far ahead as we placed things down.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I set down the big chunk of terrain in the center, and Brian, it was like a gigantic S shape in the center of it that Brian and I had to go
there's all these walls that we didn't realize.
You made a valley.
Yeah,
we had a valley until he shifted the fucking thing. But
shifted it, and also Brian made it so his entire army could just ignore it. So he could just phase through the walls.
One
in
of my
too.
Guys could see through things. So
that's handy.
It was handy.
It was nice.
It was not no.
Yeah.
For the quality of the miniatures themselves look beautiful. Overall.
They're resin, correct?
They are resin. They look really nice. at that same point, the high quality of the miniatures mixed with the type of material used made it very difficult for them. They're nice, but they can be fragile. You have to be very careful when cleaning them. On the Axiom's. Avatar. She has very, very thin legs, and I was just cleaning the flash off of the base tab, and her legs just snapped right off.
Another rabbit, Lenny.
Yes. Just padded. But overall, I mean, they're fairly nice. I kind of wish they were in a softer resin, so that way, almost like a board game plastic, I think might have been better overall. But
yeah, and it's hard to say because it's a Kickstarter game. Like, I don't know. Like, obviously, they went with what they could afford. But I do think if it would have been a slightly nicer plastic. But like for you when a model you want you you're an expert assembler and you had some challenges. Like for me, like if I had got this box and I because I just have you assemble my stuff because that's how I roll. But if I had bought it for myself and there was no Andy, I would have I would have clipped the first thing that would have shattered. I would have took out my tube of green stuff and just like rolled up fake legs and like stuck it on the model.
Well, take it to a third option here. If I had purchased it, I wouldn't have been bothering to clean Flash off. I would have just said, that's a very pretty model, and I would have played the game.
Yeah.
Well, no, you can't, because it's not even on a base.
Or they're like screwed?
You have to assemble them.
Oh, I thought you were just like cleaning off mold lines or something.
You have to do some assembly.
Okay. So there's assembly required, and it's, the cleaning.
Okay, so just be careful. They are fragile and have dainty legs.
Yeah.
Yep. Very careful. The dogs are also problematic because their legs are very thin that actually touch the ground.
It'll be interesting if the game takes off, if they're able to make more, if they're able to, if they're able to. Maybe they won't get other. Maybe our opinion is that it could be better. Maybe we're the minority. Who knows overall? But maybe I think they could probably improve the quality of resins.
Yeah, just a softer resin would be much better. The fact that it was very, very hard just made it so it was brittle. So if I put pressure on one part, it might actually crack at a whole different part.
Yeah.
Like some of the shields had some flash on the inside of the shield, and I was going to cut out part of it, and it just put enough where it just split the shield.
Yeah. And I've seen that for some companies if they use a kind of resin. I think obviously they're trying to get the models out. And I mean, they put the quality in. I mean, the mat's really good. The quality of the terrain's good. The quality of everything is good. So obviously they want their game to be good. They've put a lot of effort into it. But yeah, I mean, it is one thing that isn't the best.
Yeah, that would be my only small complaint. And it's small.
They come with tokens as well, which is nice. Every model that has an ability has a token for it. But the tokens are the exact same size of a base. So if you have a model on the thing, you can't put them. You can't put like the effect under it, which I guess in War Machine you put it next to it. But because the squares on the map are the exact
square, the token, and the base are all identical size.
Identical size. So you almost wish there was slightly different sizes because you can't put something on top of something because then you can't see what it is if it's next to it because it's so big. But it's just a way of. But I mean, we survive in War Machine putting shit next to stuff all the time. But it's a little weird that they're exactly the same.
It'd be nice if they were just slightly smaller.
Yeah, that's kind of a nitpicky thing, but I mean, it is a thing that
it is. Yeah,
it's so long as the miniatures aren't so fragile that when you're picking them up to look at them, you don't damage the miniatures.
Andy wasn't looking, and I ate one, and it came out fine.
You didn't eat one. You would know. Yeah. You would know, and we would be in a different place right now.
It's so yummy. Resin's healthy, right?
No. Oh, again, also
got vitamins and shit.
Don't sand these miniatures either because the dust is toxic. Not non-toxic, it is toxic.
It's not non-toxic.
Jesus.
Is that what you just said?
Yeah, he multiplied negatives.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I said it's toxic.
You said it's toxic. It's not non-toxic. It's toxic.
Yes. Yep. I did.
I thank you for clarifying that toxic means not non-toxic. Because I was confused. I'm like, wait, toxic, is that non-toxic? Because it could have been like a flammable, inflammable thing.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, so I mean, I guess so at the end of the day, if someone is looking at this game and thinking, maybe should I get it? If you like sci-fi themed games and you like the idea of like a miniature / board game, I think it's a fun game. I mean, it's one of those games where, for us, it's always hard to recommend. For us to play games, we do so much miniature games. And some people in our group have time. Some people in our group play like 3 or 4 side games of both the size.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're the kind of person who like doesn't have a side game on top of his main War Machine, it's probably a good option to play. But if you have a group who wants to play, true board games, this is not going to fit that niche. It's more of a you want to play a miniature style game.
I think this would actually cross over fairly well.
To me,
with
this seems 90% board game, 10% miniature, not the other way around.
Yep. I guess when I play, though, it scratches my miniature battle itch. It doesn't scratch. If I want to say, let's play board games tonight, if I'm going to play a war game, I'm going to want to rather do a Cthulhu Wars or a Ruin Wars or a TI versus something like this.
I see this working more of kind of like a War of the Ring type thing, where you have your models in your scenario, and you just go and fight.
Well, it's a two-player thing, so you have to.
It says two plus. I don't know what their plans are for doing more in the future.
That'd be pretty cool.
It's almost like a versus zombicide. You know what I mean?
I guess in my mind, because
it's not a war game like factions fighting across the galaxy and everything, but
It flavor-wise, as far as like, is it a board game as a miniature? It seemed very much like a Mice and Mystics thing, where to me, I would 100%. Play this with my family, and we don't play miniatures games. Yeah. Like, to me, this was very, very clearly a board game with really cool tokens, which are models.
If they have expansions where it can be played four players easier than maybe, but I guess when I think of two-player games...
Well, but with the card mechanic, though, you can easily do it with three people.
Oh, yeah.
But on the other hand, I mean, like, the Duke and stuff like that, you'll play. I mean, isn't this just the Duke, but with more complicated tiles and fancy miniatures instead of the tiles?
True, but the Duke takes 10 minutes.
I understand. I'm just...
Yeah, I mean, you are correct. It is the
I'm
same
just
concept,
saying
yeah.
you're wrong. Shut the fuck up.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying, Brian. Oh, high five.
Gotta kill you.
Yeah, the only thing I would say about it, it was very intuitive. Like, I sat there and watched you guys for a little bit, and it was like, okay, I get this. I see how it works. I thought the theme and flavor was really cool.
I took a brief 30-45 minute poop, and when I came back, you knew exactly what was going on. You were throwing out terminology.
Yeah, I was like, wow, Brian is a moron. Like, I could tell
I won that game.
You may have won it, but your setup was suspect at best.
Your big tactic was taking the completely unkillable caster without a scenario.
Hey. So you were
playing Haley 1 with no scenario and a gun line.
Hey,
the only thing that I didn't like about it was that when I was looking at the board, it seemed to me there wasn't enough of a visual barrier for the places you can't go. You know, you can't move through here. And to me, it didn't, like, it wasn't, you couldn't look at it immediately go, okay, I can't go through there. And I heard both of you several times, like, you're kind of planning things out, and then you're like, oh, wait, I can't go through there. You know, it wasn't immediately intuitive. And I think if I played this game, I would cut some cardboard out or something and actually just put it on the board.
It's a little dark.
Brian got a backstrike because one of Andy's characters was just grinding his face into a wall.
Like some old video game running into the wall.
But, I mean, I guess I play a bit more games that are, like, I play Imperial Assault and some other games where you're so used to having to look at the terrain a bit more and looking for the little symbols on it. Yeah. I think that's something where if you play the game two or three times, it'll be second nature.
But there's nothing against making little cardboard walls. No, like, that could be very helpful.
Well, because something, I mean, especially for the impassable, there's also resistor spots, which are, like, rough terrain. That'd be harder to do. But, yeah, I mean, if you want to put some walls down where there's walls, why not? I mean, it's become a fun
It's a miniatures game. Put your terrain out.
I will say, though, in my defense, the models that were running into a wall were a bunch of rioters as well. They're my picketers.
Maybe they're spray painting.
Well, I like to think that somebody led them down that path and then went back. It's like John Belushi character from Animal House. He's leading the parade down the band down the alleyway. That's what happened to my picketers.
They rioters got... or riders?
Rioters.
No, they're
picketers with
they're
the signs and whatnot.
Picketers, yeah.
They riot. Ah,
okay, thank you.
They do riot once in a while.
All right.
So, they have a special ability to riot.
So overall, you guys liked it?
Yeah, I like it.
I like the game a lot. I think it's solid. It's a good board game. For just a standalone miniatures game, I think it definitely needs a little bit more. I mean, there's a lot of things in here to fluff out your force, but just having two forces overall is
There's no variety in the box, but when you look at the website, there's, like I said, there's more leaders, there's more solos, there's more of these
other big plans.
That'll make it exciting. And this is still fun. There's still a bunch of scenarios to play with it, but this is a game that definitely will get better over time.
You add more options.
Although, without that stuff, you could hypothetically just buy this and treat it as a two-player board game, like War of the Rings style, and say, me and my friend are going to play Ethereum as a two-player board game. And
perfect.
I think if you played it a huge amount, it would fully wear out on you if it did get added. But if you played it occasionally, I think this could last you quite a while.
Yeah, but that moving terrain thing, I mean, it's so just cool. Always going to be fresh. It's always going to be fresh. Every game will be different. I thought that was so cool.
The terrain and the board for it, I didn't bring it up, but it's all set up downstairs still. But all the boards are all double sided, so it's not the same on either side of the boards. It comes with a ton of them.
And if the scenarios are well balanced, obviously the first one they have is just caster kill to keep things easy and ease you into it, and just dismissing that one entirely. If the rest of them are balanced well, then with the combination of that and the starting terrain being choosable by the players, both in which tiles you use and where they are, and the ability to move it during the game and everything, like, yes, you'll always use these same 30 models, but there's nigh infinite possible games to play.
Correct.
A lot of the scenarios, they're all a little bit different, but a lot of them are mostly area control, and that's, to me, a good thing. I mean, I like area control style, battles.
Yeah.
you know, I want to go over there. Anything that forces the action to certain parts of the map, and when those, when the, you know, when that map shifts somewhere else, that's a whole other element too.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I throw my Molotov cocktail on the ground and it actually blocks you from going anyplace is pretty nice.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Having your caster get thrown out into the
having one random schmuck just push him onto a tile and zoom out into Neverland.
There's also things called quantum noise. Like if it's not a tile, it's quantum noise. And quantum noise, basically, if you go, if you're on it, you roll a die and you take between three and you're dead.
But you can end up off the tiles.
Yeah,
I didn't know that could happen.
I teleport his guy. I teleport his leader into the quantum noise, and I'm like, oh, let's take seven damage. And also, you can, it's also got auto kill options.
You just like threw him off the boat into the shark infested digital realm.
I was off visiting Carol Ann.
Not to go too deep into your guys' game, but how the heck did you move his tile? Because I thought you can only move a tile if it's neutral or you controlled it.
I was shifting. I basically got him. I shifted him over. He came over to my small tile that I've been moving around all game.
It was Brian's tile. It was my Andy's tile. Leader was okay. Just on it.
He was on. Yeah. He was trying to hurt my leader, and then because he actually did a couple points. He has this like do extra damage over the base, and I made his base zero, but he was still able to do something. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like. And every time you hit his guy, he can shunt the damage to one of his guys near him. And I'm like, well, fuck that. I just shoved him eight tiles away.
Because then there's nobody near him.
There's nobody near him.
Yeah.
And then that helped.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I think overall everybody was impressed with it.
Yeah.
Except Jeff, who didn't bother watching. He was busy playing Wild Arms.
I was also running errands.
Errands are fun.
Aaron? You were running errands.
Yes.
Or errands.
Aaron, several of them. He was running errands.
Just right, many errands.
It's like running of the bulls. Double there was a whole bunch of guys named Aaron just running down the road to chase.
Aaron's the guy in the corner eating peeps, but we don't want to talk about that right now.
Should we go to some Zappity Grumbles? I mean, yeah. I don't know. Recommendations. We don't have to.
No, I'll full on lightning round this shit.
All right. Let's just.
I'm looking at Facebook, so you look at the other ones.
Right. Okay.
I thought this was a magic podcast. I was coming here to talk about the impact of Dragons of Tarkir and Standard.
You have 1 minute to do that. Go.
No, that's okay. I'm good. I love topic. It. I think blue black. No, I got.
So I think. Or is that your
I think blue black is way overpowered. The blue black control is kind of right. Sick, and right, I don't know how. Damn it!
Right.
How do you diplomatically dispatch a troll within your own family, asking for a friend?
Well,
is this a Facebook thing?
No.
Did we tweet?
Yeah, I did.
How do you diplomatically?
How do you diplomatically dispatch a troll within mm-hmm. your own family?
How?
Honestly, I think the best thing to do is just to pay someone to take care of them.
All right, there we go.
Zappity.
Zappity Grumble.
Yeah.
If you could only play one caster for the rest of time, which one would it be?
Oh, P. Haley. Mark 1 P. Haley.
So which troll are we going to get rid of? <on the edge? laughs>
That is a caster, right?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
The most recent tweet I find is mine from 2 days ago.
All right. What would you play?
Twitter. I'd go with Jarl. I love me some Jarl.
Go.
With my current factions, I would say Iron Mother.
Okay.
Man, do I have fun playing Durgan.
Denny too.
I honestly like playing with Ron. He's actually a lot of fun. Ron. He hurts my brain.
Ron.
But Ron.
Yeah.
Ron. Yeah. Zabity.
Gobble.
Any tips for growing a beard? I'll give you one tip. Don't shave.
Boom! Done. Zappity.
Nice. Don't be in the army. It's difficult.
Zappity, grumble. Picard or Kirk? Kirk.
I used to be a Picard man, but now I'm going with Kirk. I mean, Picard tried to use diplomacy with a planet-eating energy cloud. Kirk axe-handled peoples and make out with
Kirk
the ladies.
Went back in time and saved whales to take care of that cloud.
Yeah.
Well, take care of the probe droid, whatever there was.
Picard.
New Picard. No.
I've seen everything. Yeah. No, I'm going
Cisco?
With Picard. I'm going Picard.
No. Cisco's not even remotely part of this
Picard
question.
Was a better leader.
No opinion.
Picard delegated better.
All right. You?
Can you build a rudimentary laser?
Commander Sheridan of the Babylon.
I'm going with the Janeway. Zappity.
You would.
So you just could be lost.
I don't know where I am.
Zappity, grumble. What would you rather have Superman or Batman protect you while being trapped in a Jurassic World for a month? So, to be honest with you, Superman?
Do you want to survive or do you want to, you know, actually enjoy the company of the person?
What are the levels of kryptonite in Jurassic World? Because it's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah. Superman is the choice in either of those. He's going to protect you better, and he's going to be better company because Batman's going to be all like broody and, oh, yeah, my parents are dead.
I'm going to have to go with Superman.
T-Rex is Bruce. Calm down. Jeez.
Unless it's a Superman.
Batman fighting a dinosaur.
I know it's Epic Grumble, but that's the greatest trailer ever. Right?
Which one?
The Batman versus Superman.
That's what I was saying in the previous episode.
Yeah,
Actually, it was intriguing. It was intriguing. I'm going to go with intriguing.
But what's the point of a trailer?
Did you guys... Okay, I'm tagging this quickly.
I had zero interest. Now I have more than zero interest.
Exact same.
I'll say this about the movie as well. Seeing the direction they appear to be going from the teaser made me appreciate the first movie more. I hated the first movie.
The first movie is awful. There's a video out that's showing, and they added color to it, where they actually put color to it. It's amazing how better it looks with color versus grayscale.
The resaturated,
movie,
yeah.
The movie is still awful, but it would have looked nice and be awful instead of look crappy and be awful.
Why the fuck are we recoloring a movie that came out 2 years ago?
Yeah. I never even dawned on me how bad they saturated that. I thought it just made everything dull.
I'm changing my answer to Adam West specific Batman. Oh, yeah. Get rid of broody stuff. Just Adam West Batman. He'll do the Batuti.
I'll take Michael Keaton Batman.
I'll take.
You want to get nuts?
I'll just take Mayor West.
I want Michael Keaton to just shout that like when he wants a snack. Like he just turns somebody's like, you want to get nuts? And then they go to the store and he buys some peanuts.
Zappity.
Crumble.
No.
Foreign countries you'd most and least like to live in for a year or more. All right, go.
I lived in Iraq for a year, and it was pretty shitty. But probably
you cheated and already did Germany. That's my answer.
I was gonna say. I mean, lived in Germany for a number of years. Iraq. Least likely to live almost any sub-Saharan Africa. I mean, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Somalia. Mm. Somalia. Yeah. Let's go Somalia. And
Mogadishu has some nice strip malls.
Sure.
There's a Starbucks down there.
That's true. I guess I would like to live in... I absolutely loved France. I hate French, but France, the country, gorgeous, beautiful history. I would go France.
The ladies.
The ladies are pretty.
As a
German, I'm the toughest guy in the whole fucking country.
Yeah.
I mean, I could get whatever I want. I'm a German. Achtung.
Just shove a guy down, take his ice cream. Yeah. I'm German.
German, walk away. German, excuse me, pardon me, German coming through.
You like a Family Guy when Peter was retarded? He's like, I'm retarded. Just do
German coming through.
He just annexes his ice cream.
Yeah. Dating cream.
I'd have to go with the German thing. If I had to pick a spot to live for a year, it'd be Germany. There's lots of places I'd love to visit, but... Mm-hmm. Living's different.
Germany's awesome.
And least place to live, I don't know if I can actually survive Australia. I've got a terrible phobia of venomous animals, and everything in Australia tends to be poisonous, even if you don't think it would be.
I think this is a good idea and a bad idea. I think take me and Jeff and send us places and just watch what happens.
like an idiot abroad.
Who dies first, Jeff or Brian? It's one episode.
Yeah.
We both die.
It's tragic.
Trick.
Welcome
question.
To Australia. Oh.
It won't be anything cool.
Guys, let's try and get through the pilot.
The plane door opens and something just kills both of us in the first episode. 5 minutes in.
Like, it won't be a big fish animal. It'd be like a male platypus. Like a venom sticker.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Got little. They are venomous.
Right.
Yeah. Which is bullshit.
Uh-huh.
We're going to continue to just say Germany. We're all just going to agree that Germany's the awesomest country on the planet. Mm. You've never been. I've been. It's awesome. Mm. Würzburg. I liked Würzburg.
Würzburg's awesome.
And then least like, is there a point to living in Canada?
It's nicer.
Good point. All right.
People are nice in Canada.
Not like, and I would not want to live in the general populous area of any Caribbean nation. Those are all very destitute and terrible.
Oh, but yeah, but I mean, having said that, like, I mean...
Can you stay on the resort for this?
Yes,
that's what I'm
exactly.
saying. That's why I said
you
know, the general like, populous
yeah,
areas.
Roatan? Sure, I'll live there.
You know, it's like the Onion article where a woman who claims to love Mexico has only seen half a square mile of it. Yeah, I live in the Sandals Resort. I would not go into
Mexico.
Tijuana.
By the way, reality show, Nathan in Canada would be phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Make it happen.
Just him going crazy and angry at everyone. Everyone's still chipper and nice to him.
I'm going with your answer, Somali, for where I don't want to be, because that just, I don't want to be shot and things happen to me. And I'm going to say Switzerland.
That's a good call.
Good chocolate. I would say ladies.
Yeah. Mine's pretty quick. The one place I don't want to be is Syria. It would not be
also a great answer.
A good place to be.
Yeah.
But
you've got the beard though. Like, you could pull it off.
Just get a tan and put, you know, you could
blend.
You could blend.
Repeat after me. Death to America.
You could pull it off. You pull it off.
But then the other place I would like Sweden or Finland. Up in that peninsula.
It's too cold.
I don't care. I've got the beard and I got the gut. I'm good.
I don't actually like cold either.
Every once in a while, somebody posts on Facebook like list of like things about Finland and Sweden that make them sound like these utopias, and it's like, it's a shame I don't speak the language. It's like everybody gets free college and free healthcare and a free woman. And
however, I've always wanted to go to Wacken Open Air. I've always wanted to go to that, and that's in Germany.
That is a heavy metal concert.
It's like 3 days of heavy metal. Amazing. I've always wanted to go to it. Just never have.
Listening to House of Hair yesterday, and D. Snyder did his thing where he played three songs, and he's like, guess what they have in common? And he did the three songs. He did the commercial break, and I listened to a whole bunch of shitty commercials because I wanted to find out what they had in common. And he came back to, like, the thing they have in common is they were all German heavy metal bands. I'm like, you could have picked any three random bands, and there was an 80% chance they'd all be German.
When I was living in Germany, we watched, like, the MTV Video Music Awards Europe, and Sacha Baron Cohen was hosting it.
Sure.
And he comes on, he's like, all right, you know, this is the point where if you're not German, take 4 minutes to go to the bathroom. Ladies and gentlemen, Rammstein.
All right, Zappity Grumble. How much rum is too much rum? Never.
None. Not none.
When you run out of Coke.
I'm immune to rum, so it doesn't bother me.
It's mostly a per hour kind of thing. It's not so much a volume, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to hurry. What does Talking Terrain say?
What does Talking Terrain say?
Yep, I said Talking Terrain.
Oh.
So. Zappity.
Zappity. That was Jan trying to be funny.
Damn it, Devil Squid. You suck.
Stop being tall.
I'm tall. You should send us a copy of your skid marks.
If he sent us skid marks, we'd probably...
We would play skid marks.
Yeah.
We would try some skid marks out.
I believe you.
Without
I tried skid, them. Wait, we wait. Try out the skid marks, and then we have the peep show. It all ties together.
Without knowing what skid marks is,
any left? We're almost.
I don't know. Nathan said he was.
I couldn't find. I didn't see your tweet. Twitter is unusable. It is the worst design program in the world. I found our profile page, and the most recent tweet is mine from 2 days ago.
Well, there's two notifications. Hold on, I will kind of hear. So somebody vamp. Somebody talk.
What am I missing here? What am I missing, Brian? I'm on our page, and I go to tweets, and the most recent one is from 2 days ago.
Mine actually is not. Mine was different. But
Tadko asks if he missed asking a Zappity Grumble.
Yes.
That might be the best Zappity Grumble ever.
That's it. Right. That's it. Twitter's done.
So no.
So recommendation.
He didn't miss it.
You didn't, well,
he
didn't
on, miss it.
On. Now he missed it.
Yeah.
recommendations.
Like, is it true you'll answer anybody one question?
What
yes.
I'm going to recommend. My recommendation is
Mortal Kombat X.
It's a great game. It's called Axiom Verge.
Is it good?
It is an amazing fucking game. So if you like Metroid, do you like Metroid?
Metroid, not the Metroid games, but specifically.
He is my favorite character.
Yes. Do you like Metroid?
Yes.
Do you like Super Metroid?
Yes.
Do you like Castlevania?
Yes.
Do you like Castlevania Symphony of the Night?
Yes.
This
is an 8-bit version of it, and it is amazing.
Yeah.
It is. It has the best. It has all the 8-bit qualities, but a lot of like modern technology what 8-bits couldn't do back then.
It was a really nice soundtrack.
Very,
like, I got to play it,
very
the soundtrack's
nice soundtrack.
Really good.
It is a Dungeon Explorer.
If it
it's
was
amazing
9-bits,
game.
I'd play it.
No.
By the way, here's how dumb John Aker is. So the other episode we did is the gun part of Metroid's suit or is it part of his arm?
Yeah.
Classic troll. That's the joke. Also, the character's name isn't Metroid. It's Sam, blah, blah, blah. So he then sends me like messages with pictures of Samus in various outfits holding the gun. He's like, well, this should answer your question regarding the guns and everything. I'm like, you so missed the point of that story.
He usually is fairly clever. I guess he's getting dumber.
He was like in a meeting. He wasn't paying attention.
Maybe it was
something.
A retroll. Is that possible? A retroll?
No, not. No. John just sometimes, you just
he's
go,
not,
oh.
He's, he's not. He can't next level things.
No. He can barely that level things. Next level is way beyond him.
I am going to recommend a book series I'm reading by Brent Weeks. And I forgot the name of the book series. I know the name of the book.
Well,
I've been reading the
book. Brian recommends you read.
Hey, I apologize for, you know, bringing this professional podcast down.
Well,
I'm really...
Say, it's a Lightbringer series. It's
a Lightbringer series.
Yeah, it's a four-book series. Me and Jim have recommended Brent Weeks' other series, The Night Angel Trilogy, multiple times. And his newest series, it's a four-book series, also extraordinary. I haven't finished it, so I guess it could Mass Effect 3 me. But at this point, it's a very enjoyable book series. It's a kind of a mid to high fantasy realm, but it's just Brent Weeks' ability to tell a story and the way he just builds at an amazing rate. He doesn't just like jump the gun too fast. He just has this constant upward spiral he kind of does in his quality of storytelling.
Not to be mean, but I hope it Mass Effects through you, because I want to see the rage.
You want
to
save this.
I would be,
a before and after video.
Yeah.
Don't anyone ever read their books. But yeah, no, that's my recommendation. Brent Weeks. You should just read everything by Brent Weeks. That's really what you should do. I might, if this series does end well, I may actually like him more than Jim Butcher. But it has to finish up before. Oh, quick announcement. And a very important announcement. We have to edit this, put it to the beginning of the podcast. At the end of May, we are going to be doing a Jim Butcher podcast. We're going to go, me, Nathan, Jeremy, and I forget who else is going to sit and talk about the first five Dresden books. And then in end of June-ish, maybe beginning of July, we're going to do another podcast.
Six through ten.
And then in the
you
summer.
You guys should just marathon it.
Well,
all 15 same
we
day.
We want to do five at a time so people can actually, if people can, you know, if they want to reread them now or get into them. But we're going to just go in depth on the five books.
And there is, I don't know how close to 100% chance, but there is some percent chance that we will actually be able to have Jim Butcher on our podcast.
There is efforts put into that. He's very busy right now and unable to do things, but that is an ultimate goal.
We are working on
that.
And it is not unreasonable.
Yeah. And it is a thing I don't want to talk about or mention to people. Don't you didn't hear that until it happens. So it'd be a surprise. But it's in the works, but it's a long way off. But it's a possible.
It's making me edit the goddamn podcast.
Anyway, that's my recommendation and my recommendation and my announcement.
Ditto Chris Cluey. Is he a surprise too?
We get Skype working.
Edit Jim Butcher to Jim Gantner from the 82 Brewers, and it'll flow.
Yeah, there you go. He might get Jim Gantner.
Jim
on
Gantner, 82 Brewers.
Hey.
I was thinking we could get the Butcher.
Second base.
The guy who does the Butcher's voice from Diablo.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
That's who might come on. Yeah. That's awesome.
Jim and the guy who does the voice of the
Jim
Butcher.
Jim and the local Butcher.
Yeah.
Jim the Butcher, yeah.
Yeah.
What am I here for?
Y'all want some meat cuts?
No, he's just in the background just staring at people, just cutting meat.
All right, you're up.
I don't think I even had anything.
All right, good. Mortal Kombat.
Hey, this will be a thing. So I bought a PlayStation 4. The version I came with Last of Us, so I'm going to try it again.
Oh.
Yeah.
Also, if you don't like it, please give it to me, because I don't have a PS4 version. I would play for the fourth or fifth time if you don't like it.
It didn't come with a physical one. It came with a code to download it. I don't know. Is it like Steam where you can give people downloaded games?
Nope. That's yours.
If you have that code already. But
something that occurred to me, what you could do, buy a PS4.
And trade?
A second.
Listen, buy a PS4, download Last of Us using the code from the slip that comes in the box, return the PS4. You get a free copy of Last of Us. Like, I was thinking, there's nothing stopping you from doing that, because there was all these codes.
Well, your average retailer's not going to take back the system at that point.
I don't... Yes, they will. As long as it's all
replace.
In the box. Huh?
Most of them will replace once it's opened.
I don't think so. I think Walmart and shit, you get a standard 14-day return policy. And so there's like free $10 in the PlayStation Store. There's the free Last of Us. There's all these coupons to get you started. That's free.
Do you have the PS Plus? Did you get?
Not yet. It says I should get a 14-day free trial, but I can't make that activate.
You should spring for that.
I will.
It's $50 for a full year, and it's
I've recommended that multiple times. I will.
the tasty edition isn't the free thing of the month anymore, right? So no, it's gone. So I missed on that.
No, but it's only like $15.
Meh.
It's worth it.
Was your recommendation to buy PS4s, take all the free shit, and then return it?
My recommendation is fraud. Rampant fraud.
Fraud in general.
Larceny would be my dream job.
Wow.
Zaffity?
All right. Rumble. Jeff, take it from there.
I recommend you talk to Brian about Mass Effect 3. He loves that game.
I could have a podcast. I could outlast any podcast I ever do on how much I hate it.
We really need to just do that podcast. I'll do my new RoboCop podcast. We'll see who gets angrier.
in different rooms, and we'll have like a meter going.
We'll have two live streams going, which of us passes out first from rage.
Now we need to have a Gilligan cut to your house burning down.
You could probably do that. And so one of the mics goes to the left speaker and the other to the right, and then you can switch the balance left and right.
Could
cut to just Kefka laughing as a giant laser is going over.
I could sustain that for hours. I could last longer than Jeremy's 8-hour Legion podcast and my hatred for Mass Effect 3. Easily. I wouldn't even be halfway done.
If I had the production abilities, I could easily do like a 4-hour review a la Red Letter Media of the new RoboCop. Easily. I would dissect the fuck out of that thing.
Let's do it.
What's the minimum Kickstarter?
Just give him a soda?
Yeah.
Just one diet Pepsi with the label removed. He'll be set.
Yeah. Just buy me a PS4. I need $10 for my PlayStation store.
What is your recommendation besides sending me off to a rampage?
It's actually a game I got off PlayStation Plus, Transistor. I started playing that a couple days ago, and I was really surprised with it.
I haven't actually finished it, but it's pretty slick.
I really like the combat system of it. It's very customizable. So two people are going to progress through the same storyline and all the same fights, but they're almost never going to have the same like fighting style. And it looks pretty. I haven't figured out what the plot actually is.
Is it an RPG? Is it
the people who did that one game did this game.
Bastion.
Well, yeah.
It's kind
of... No, you don't... Stop talking. You said it's made by the people who did Bastion.
Oh, okay.
That's enough.
Okay. No. You don't even care about the type of game anymore?
It was made by the people who made Bastion. Anyone who doesn't buy it based on that is stupid and wrong.
If you play Bastion, if you like Bastion, you're going to like this.
Nothing like Bastion, funny enough, but still amazing.
Yeah.
For completely different reasons.
Yeah. It's got this very cool time freeze mechanic where... Okay, fine, shop. Made by Bastion, buy it.
I need to go play Bastion again.
Get on that. So, yeah. I recommend Transistor.
Blow our minds, Adam. Coup. The game Coup, not launching.
I think just having coups.
The game Coup and then add Reformation.
Throwing coups in Junta.
Yeah. No, Coup, especially with the expansion pack, the Reformation is an awesome game. Just lying and bluffing and deceiving and.
I've owned it. I've heard a lot of good things about it. I haven't played it yet.
We'll play it right after this.
No, we can't because we got to go get food and Game of Thrones.
Yeah. That's fine.
I have to leave in 2 minutes.
Yep. Game of Thrones.
Right. You weren't invited, Brian. But, I mean, the others of us.
Fucking compliments. I saw a speed... I'm going to use 30 seconds of the 2 minutes. I saw a speed run of Bastion where the guy used a glitch so that every time you got one of the MacGuffins, it triggered as getting two of the MacGuffins. And the plot of that story is really weird when it jumps 2 plot points ahead every time.
From McMuffins?
Yes.
Egg McMuffins. You got an egg
you
McMuffin.
Get two of them?
It just spit it out of your PS4. You have to get the McDonald's version of the PS4 to spit out Egg McMuffins.
That's my recommendation. If you write a book or a TV show or a movie, if you get something professionally released, make the whatever it is actually call it a MacGuffin. Like, have them need to rescue the scientist Dr. MacGuffin from the you know, Soviet Reds and stuff like that. Use the word MacGuffin out there to see how many film cinema
there was a third magical acorn.
Do you have to save him with Chekhov's gun?
Yes. Yes. You need to rescue Professor MacGuffin by shooting somebody with Chekhov's gun. I want literal usage of these terminologies.
We saw some movie where they used one of those terms in the
only one I know is in the Sam and Max cartoon show, there was a whole episode where their favorite breakfast cereal, glazed MacGuffins, had been discontinued, so they were trying to go to the factory to figure it out.
In the Christmas special Olive the Other Reindeer, she's locked in the back of a mailbox and she opens a package addressed to her from Deus Ex Machina.
There
you go. It's a file that she uses to file out and leave.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Boom. I support that.
All right.
Let's go watch Game of Thrones.
Yep. Bye, everybody. Good Thanks call. For watching.
I think this was better than 112.
I think cancer's better than 112.
Well, I'm,
is the Holocaust sorry, I'm not, better I'm, than 112?
It was me, but I'm not coming back. Sorry.
We miss you.
Yeah. When are you going to move to the area?
Well, I retire in probably a couple years, so probably never.